I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The twilight of a visionary by 2010. Steve Jobs had come more than a businessman. He was a symbol of invention itself, an icon of creativity, discipline, and rebellion wrapped in a black turtleneck. But behind the stage lights, his health was failing. He'd fought cancer formerly, but now it had returned, stronger. Each public appearance revealed a thinner, frillier interpretation of the man who had formerly commanded apartments with restless energy. Yet every time people allowed he might step back, he reappeared on stage, calm and fierce, unveiling products that changed everything again. The iPad had just launched, and the iPhone's dominance was rewriting how people lived. Challengers climbed, imitate Apple. But they couldn't replicate the feeling Jobs invested into every decision. Still, mortality was catching up. Jobs, who'd formerly overrun every handicap with pure restraint, faced commodity he couldn't outmaneuver or outwork. A private battle Jobs fight with pancreatic cancer began in 2003 when Kroger's set up a rare, slow, growing excrescence. He refused immediate surgery, trying volition diets and curatives first. Musketeers and family prayed him to review. Indeed, his croakers said he was laying with time. 9 months latterly, he eventually agreed to an operation. It bought him times, but not peace. He spoke infrequently about his illness. To outlanders, Apple remained his life's work, and that was what he wanted them to see. He avoided sympathy. He abominated pity. His focus stayed on products, not hospitals. But at home, the picture was different. His woman, Lorene Powell Jobs, saw his struggle over near, the prostration, the pain, the fragility behind the stoic expression. Their children, Reed, Aaron, and Eve grew up knowing their father as a blend of brilliance and distance. He could be tender, but his mind frequently lived nearly differently, locked in design sketches or unborn plans. Indeed, when weakened by illness, Jobs maintained control. He'd review Apple designs from bed, demand new prototypes, and notice donations via dispatch. Work wasn't a distraction for him. It was oxygen. Passing the torch by early 2011, Jobs knew his time as Apple's driving force was nearing its end. He directed a platoon that participated his vision, especially Tim Cook, his longtime operations principal. Cook was calm where Jobs was violent, regular where Jobs was impulsive. They balanced each other. Jobs admired Cook deeply. He saw in him the discipline Apple demanded to survive beyond his own presence. But he also stressed that Apple could lose its creative soul, the spark that made it different. He gathered his top platoon cook, Johnny Ive, Eddie Q, Phil Schiller, and told them, "When I'm gone, do and ask what I would do. Just do what's right." It was then saccharinity. It was instruction. Jobs had erected Apple to outlast him, but he wanted to make sure it did and forget who it was. The last keynotes every product launch had come an event of near-religious intensity. But now, the followership wasn't just watching Apple's inventions. They were watching Steve himself, measuring every gesture, every word, every sign of decline. June 2011, Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference. Jobs, thinner than ever, walked on stage to advertise iCloud. His voice was softer, his movements pokely, but his presence was undiminished. He spoke with clarity and conviction. "We're going to move the center of your digital life to the pall," he said. "Because the verity is, we're not going to be suitable to fit all of our digital lives on these biases presently." It was classic Jobs, seeing around corners, understanding where the world was heading before anyone differently. That would be his last keynote. The resignation on August 24th, 2011, Steve Jobs abdicated as Apple CEO. His letter to the board was short and severely honest. "I've always said if there ever came a day when I could no longer meet my duties and prospects as Apple CEO, I would be the first to let you know. Unfortunately, that day has come." He recommended Tim Cook as his successor. There was no form, no grand farewell. Jobs didn't believe in dramatizing consummations. He believed in transitions. He remained chairman of the board, still involved, still watching. But to those who knew him, the moment felt like the end of a period. Reflections on heritage as his health declined further, Jobs began to reflect on his life. Not intimately. He was still private to the end, but in quiet moments, with family and close musketeers. He admitted regrets. Denying maternity of his first son, Lisa, visited him. He conformed with her times before, and they had erected a fragile but real relationship. Still, he knew he'd cause her pain. He also questioned his spiritual beliefs. Jobs had explored Zen Buddhism. Since his youth, he'd spent months in India searching for meaning. Now, as death approached, he wondered what came next. Occasionally, I suppose it's just like an on-off switch, he formally told chronicler Walter Isaacson. Click, and you're gone, also he broke. But occasionally, I suppose there's more. Perhaps that's why I know way like putting on-off switches on Apple Bias. It was a rare regard of humor and fear, the binary forces that had always driven him. Simplicity and perfection Jobs' preoccupation with simplicity was ain't just about design. It was about gospel. He believed clarity was the ultimate complication. Every product at Apple was stripped to its substance. Every idea was reduced to its purest form. He abominated complexity that served no purpose. When masterminds cluttered a design with features, he'd intrude Demet's sentence and ask, why? Still, it was gone, if they could ain't give a reason. He used to walk with Johnny Ive through Apple's design plant, agitating products in silence. They didn't need numerous words. Both understood that great design was and about how commodity looked. It was about how it felt. Jobs formally said, design is ain't just what it looks like and feels like. Design is how it works. That thinking shaped every product Apple made, from the first Macintosh to the iPhone, to the glass staircase in Apple stores. The family man, he came in his after times. Jobs spent further time at home. His house in Palo Alto was simple, modest by billionaire norms. He'd walk barefoot in the theater, hear to Bob Dylan, and talk to his children about life. He tutored them not to chase wealth or status, but meaning. He told them, doan't live someone additional's life. Doan't be trapped by dogma. His relationship with Laureen was his anchor. She respected his intensity, but also understood his fragility. She defended his sequestration fiercely, shielding him from gratuitous noise as his condition worsened. Jobs' children flashed back him not as a CEO of Apple, but as a father who would still get amped about a design sketch or a new idea. His mind no way stopped creating. Indeed, as his body grew weaker. The final days by October 2011, Steve Jobs was fading. He spent utmost of his time at home, girdled by family. Caller described him as serene, reflective. He knew the end was near. He still worked, reviewing Apple's future plans, giving quiet guidance. The iPhone 4S was about to launch, featuring Siri, the voice adjunct that suggested at where Apple would go next. Jobs didn't attend the event, but his fingerprints were far and wide. On October 5, 2011, Steve Jobs failed peacefully at his home, girdled by his family. He was 56. The news spread incontinently and the world broke. Apple stores turned into new monuments. People left flowers, notes, and apples with mouthfuls taken out of them. CEOs, artists, masterminds, and suckers likewise called him a genius, a visionary, a misfit who changed everything. Indeed, his fiercest rivals, Bill Gates among them, paid homage. Gates said, for those of us lucky enough to work with him, it's been an insanely great honor. Aftermath in the days after his death, Apple's website displayed nothing but a single black and white print of him and a note, Steve Jobs, 1955 to 2011. Inside Apple, workers gathered still. Numerous wept. They knew they hadn't just lost a master. They'd lost a force of nature. But indeed in death, Jobs' influence didn't fade. The company he rebuilt was stronger than ever. His leadership principles, his design gospel, his asseveration on simplicity and excellence, those came Apple's DNA. He'd formally said, my job isn't to be easy on people. My job is to make them better. And he did. The world he left behind by the time Steve Jobs failed. Apple had readdressed at least five diligence: computers, music, phones, vitality, and publishing. But further than that, he changed how people interacted with technology. He made it intimate, personal, mortal. The ripple goods of his ideas reached far beyond Silicon Valley. Every ultra-modern smartphone, every digital interface, every clean line of minimalist design owes commodity to his influence. And yet, maybe his most continuing heritage was in what he erected, but how he allowed with clarity, courage, and grim curiosity. Jobs formally told a graduating class at Stanford, "Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone additional's life." Those words have outlasted him, echoing in the minds of romanticists and generators far and wide. The legacy machine after Steve Jobs' death, Apple faced a strange kind of silence. For decades, his energy had been the twinkle of the company. Every major decision, every product, every color, every line of textbook had formally passed through him. Now, that gravitational force was gone. Tim Cook, now CEO, inherited both a thriving company and an insolvable shadow. The question everyone asked, still or audibly, was the same: can Apple survive without Steve Jobs? The answer, as it turned out, was complicated. The transition Jobs had chosen Cook for a reason. He was a showman. He was there to imitate Steve. He was steady, calm, relentlessly organized. However, Cook was the eye of a storm, rational, disciplined. If Jobs was a hurricane of suspicion and emotion, under Cook, Apple's culture began to shift subtly. Meetings came more structured. Collaboration replaced battle. The sharp edges softened. Some stressed that Apple would lose its soul, that without Jobs' perfectionism and instinct, the company would turn into just another pot. But Cook understood commodity, deeper Jobs didn't want Apple to worship him. He wanted it to suppose like him, to value simplicity, to make with care, to say no to a thousand effects until only the essential remained. And that's exactly what Cook concentrated on: maintaining the discipline behind the vision. The first way without Steve, the first product launches after Jobs' death were bittersweet. The iPhone 4S had debuted just one day before he passed, with his new voice adjunct, Siri, a point Jobs had tête-à-tête approved and ameliorated. In 2012, the world saw the iPhone 5, the new iPad, and the MacBook Pro with Retina display. Each dragged traces of Jobs' influence. His fingerprints were still on the design gospel, the marketing tone, indeed the product vids recited by Johnny Ive in Calm, Minimalist Meter. But ultimately, Apple had to move forward without its author's direct vision. The myth and the machine in the times following his death, Steve Jobs came mythologized. Books, pictures, and pictures portrayed him as everything from a dictator to a prophet. Some called him cruel, others called him godly. The verity, as always, was nearly in between. Jobs was both a perfectionist who demanded the insolvable and a utopian who believed the insolvable was worth chasing. Inside Apple, his ghost dallied in every discussion about product design. What would Steve suppose? Came an implied question in every room. At first, it was a guiding principle. Over time, it came a trap. Johnny Ive, Apple's principal design officer and one of Jobs' closest musketeers, frequently advised against turning Steve's instincts into dogma. Steve no way wanted to be firmed in time, he said. He wanted Apple to keep moving. That's what made Jobs different. He no way erected monuments. He erected instigation. Innovation without the icon Apple's challenge was not to survive but to evolve. In the decade after Jobs' death, the company introduced products he no way directly touched: the Apple Watch, AirPods, Apple Music, and a vast ecosystem of services. Some critics said Apple had come less enterprising, more iterative. But Cook and I've saw it else. They were not chasing dislocation for its own sake. They were enriching what Jobs had started: the flawless integration of tackle, software, and mortal experience. The Apple Watch, in particular, embodied Jobs' vision of particular technology as an extension of tone. It was not just a contrivance. It tracked health, connected people, and made technology more intimate. It blurred the line between device and body, commodity Jobs had imagined decades before. And also came AirPods, a product Jobs would have loved, royal, beautiful, and still revolutionary. Apple had learned to conduct his thinking, not just repeat it. The emotional core designed one thing Jobs understood better than anyone was emotion. He didn't just vend computers. He vended passions, delight, curiosity, belonging. Every Apple product was designed to elicit commodity. That emotional intelligence came the company's compass long after he was gone. When Apple erected new stores under developer Angela Arendt, they called them city places, places to gather and learn. When they expanded the iPhone lineup, they emphasized not specs, but just photography.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Liar connection. It was still Steve's playbook, just spoken in a new accentuation. Johnny, I've said it's stylish. Steve tutored us that our thing is not to make plutocrat, but to make great products. The result of making great products is plutocrat. That mindset came Apple's religion. The cult of simplicity, one of Jobs' most continuing benefactions, was his gospel of simplification, a discipline so deceptively delicate that only a many ever master it. When masterminds at Apple batted features, they frequently overcomplicated. Jobs would stop them with a single question, "What problem are we working still?" He'd cut the idea if they could answer. After his death, that principle remained the company's compass. Apple under Cook did submerge a request with options. It ameliorated, streamlined, perfected. Indeed, when critics mocked Apple for being slow to borrow new technologies like larger defenses or styluses, the company held its line. It was not about being first. It was about being right. Jobs formally said, "People suppose focus means saying yes to the thing you've got to concentrate on. But that's not what it means. It means saying no to 100 other good ideas." Apple continued to live by that rule. The ripple effect beyond Apple. Steve Jobs' influence reshaped entire diligence. Google's Android imaged Apple's design morality. Samsung's tackle followed Apple's form. Factor. Pixar, under Disney's power, came the gold standard for vitality liar, erected on the creative culture Jobs had defended. Indeed, companies outside tech, from Tesla to Airbnb, espoused from his preoccupation with design, simplicity, and emotional resonance. Jobs had changed not just what products looked like, but how companies allowed about creativity. He made art and technology equal mates. The mortal side of genius, as further details of Jobs' particular life surfaced through lives and interviews, the world saw the contradictions more easily. He could be cruel to associates, but tender with musketeers. He could destroy someone's idea in one judgment, also latterly tell them it was brilliant, and mean both effects. He demanded fidelity and honesty, but frequently withheld both. Yet, nearly everyone who worked nearly with him admitted commodity. Remarkable, they were more because of him. He had a way of making people exceed their own limits. He forced them to watch about effects they no way allowed. They were the shape of an icon, the sense of a button, the silence between incipiency chimes. To Jobs, those details were sacred, because in those details lived meaning. Assignments that endured in 2011, when Apple workers gathered to celebrate his life, they participated stories. Not of gains or a quest share, but of ideas. One developer recalled Jobs' asseveration that the inside of computer, the corridor no bone would ever see, should be as beautiful as the outside. "Because you'll know," he'd say, "and that matters." That simple idea came Apple's moral law integrity in design, indeed when no bone is watching. Another story came from a youthful mastermind who had worked on early iPhone prototypes. Jobs had rejected his design 3 times, also called him back late at night to say he'd changed his mind, it was perfect. The mastermind said, It was the hardest time of my life and the most meaningful. That's the incongruity of Steve Jobs. He made work painful, but he also made it worth doing. The philosophical heritage Steve Jobs railed on Nation wasn't just a technology, it was to allowing itself. He bridged art and wisdom, suspicion and sense, emotion and engineering. He proved that creativity and commerce didn't have to be adversaries. His life was a case study in contradictions of powerhouse who erected the world's most precious company, a control freak who sermonized freedom, a perfectionist who lived simply. And his topmost sapience was in specialized it was mortal that people do ain't just buy products. They buy stories. He gave technology a soul. The world after Steve further than a decade after his death. Apple came the first company in history to hit a $3 trillion valuation. People frequently say, Steve would have loved this, or Steve would have abominated that. The verity is, no bone really knows. He was too changeable, too restless to fit into hypotheticals. But what's clear is this: his fingerprints are still far and wide. Every iPhone, every minimalist interface, every flawless experience, each carries echoes of his mind. The glass spaceship lot in Cupertino, Apple Park, was one of the last systems he tete-a-tete envisaged. The structure's indirect design reflected his preoccupation with perfection, openness, and community. Indeed, an armature, he left a mark. What it all meant when Walter Isaacson asked Jobs how he wanted to be flashed back, he signed. I doin' suppose about heritage, he said. I suppose about making commodity awful and moving on. But heritage doesn't ask for authorization. He inspired a generation to make not just products, but purpose. He showed that design could be poetry, that simplicity could be important, and that one person's vision, no matter how unreasonable, could reshape the world. Jobs formally said, "The people who are crazy enough to suppose they can change the world are the bones who do." He proved it. The immortal brand Apple wasn't just a company. By the time Steve Jobs failed, it had come a belief system. People didn't line up outside stores for a phone. They lined up to feel par commodity larger, to hold a piece of design that represented clarity in a messy world. That was the magic Jobs erected. He turned technology into a kind of faith. Indeed, after his death, Apple's products carried that air. Every keynote, every commercial, every clean white box felt like a durability of his vision. The man was gone, but the brand had absorbed his personality, his defiance, his perfection, his preoccupation with beauty. Apple didn't need to imitate him. It had come him. The philosophy that no way failed Jobs' approach to life was nearly spiritual. He wasn't religious in a traditional sense, but he believed in purpose. That life had to mean commodity beyond survival or success. He frequently quoted the expression, "Stay empty, stay foolish." It wasn't just a watchword from his Stanford speech. It was his entire worldview. To him, complacency was death. The only way to stay alive creatively was to remain curious, naive enough to suppose commodity better could live. Inside Apple, that mindset came institutional memory. New workers were told stories of Jobs' grim pursuit of perfection, how he'd tear down prototypes and demand commodity insanely great. It wasn't nostalgia, it was standard. Contrivers and masterminds didn't ask, would Steve authorize? They asked, does this feel right? That question came the company's moral compass. The eternal product when the Apple Watch Ultra launched. People wonder would Jobs have made commodity like this? A rugged, heavy device for athletes and comers, it didn't feel like his minimalist taste. But also again, Jobs always acclimated to mortal jest. He didn't mandate it. He anticipated it. Still, perhaps he would have said, it's not about the watch, if he were alive. It's about the experience of living with it. That's how he allowed products as companions, not tools. Every new Apple release still carries that emotional DNA. When Apple unveiled Vision Pro, its mixed reality headset, Tim Cook echoed Jobs' gospel nearly word for word. The most profound technologies are the bones that vanish. That line was pure Steve. He always believed that technology should fade into the background so humans could be more not further digital, but more themselves. That's the heritage ignited into every Apple product. The mortal brand utmost tech companies make products. Jobs erected individualities. people didn't just use Macintoshes or iPhones. They K-Mac people or iPhone people. The design choices, the ecosystem, indeed the typography each carried emotional cues. It was design psychology at its loftiest position. Suppose about Apple stores. They were erected to vend. They were erected to invite. The wood tables, the glass staircases, the lack of cash registers, it was each about trust. You didn't feel pressured. You felt reputed. Jobs believed physical spaces signified as important as digital bones. When he worked with mastermind Norman Foster on Apple Park, he spent hours mooting the wind of the glass panels, the inflow of sun, the sound of steps on the bottoms. He wanted to reign where creativity didn't just be. It was ineluctable. That's what made him different from other authors. He didn't chase effectiveness. He chased emotion. And that emotion came Apple's topmost product. The education of a generation beyond Apple, Jobs' influence on how people suppose about creativity and work is unmatched. Entrepreneurs study his leadership style. Contrivers dissect his simplicity. Filmmakers mimic his liar meter. But the real education he offered was not in business. It was in values. He tutored that saying no is more important than saying yes. That art and engineering are not contraries. That quality matters. Indeed, when no bone notices, his life came a class. In classrooms and incipiency services, people quote his words like book, not because he was always right he was in, but because he made people believe excellence was possible. He reminded us that the world is erected by those who refuse to settle. The myth of control, one of the most fascinating dichotomies about Jobs, is how hung up he was with control, yet how little control he'd over his own story. He couldn't control being fired from Apple in 1985. He couldn't control cancer, taking him decades laterally. And he couldn't control how people would flash back him. But perhaps that's why he worked so hard, to control the only thing he could what he created. When he said, "We're then to put a dent in the macrocosm," he wasn't talking about pride. He meant that creating commodity meaningful is the only real form of permanence humans get. Everything additional fades. He formally told a friend, "Death is veritably probably the single stylish invention of life. It clears out the old to make way for the new." That idea shaped how he erected Apple. He no way wanted it to depend on him. He wanted it to outlast him. And it did. The Apple way moment. Apple remains the most precious company on earth. Not just because of products, but because of principles. Empathy for the stoner. Focus on simplicity. Deep integration of design and technology. Belief that good ideas can come from anywhere. These are end commercial taglines. They're extensions of Jobs' character. Indeed, as Apple evolved under Tim Cook's calm leadership, the DNA stayed the same. The bias got briskly, thinner, smarter. But the feeling remained familiar. The fineness, the restraint, the clarity. That's what Jobs erected a company where gospel outlived personality. The ghost in the machine walked through Apple Park at night, and you can nearly feel him there. The ring-shaped structure glows vocally under California's sky. Outside, contrivers work still in apartments filled with prototypes, sketches, and endless debate over details no bone will ever see. That's exactly how Jobs wanted it. Not a sanctum, but a living organism. He used to say, "Real artist boat." Meaning creation matters more than perfection. That mantra still guides a brigade's moment. They debate, they argue, they delay, but ultimately, they transport. And when a new iPhone or MacBook hits the world, you can smell his ghost in the small effects, the satisfying click of a hinge, the perfection of a fountain, the silence between sounds. It's all him. The family behind the genius down from the limelight, his family carried their own interpretation of his heritage. Lorene Powell Jobs, his widow, came a philanthropist concentrated on education, immigration, and environmental causes. She infrequently speaks intimately about Steve, but when she does, her words are sharp and tender. "Steve's work was a reflection of his values," she formally said. "He believed that what you make should express who you are." His children grew up substantially outside public life. Lisa Brennan Jobs, his son from his early relationship with Kristen Brennan, published a bio that revealed both the brilliance and emotional injuries of being Steve Jobs' child. It was raw, honest, and deeply mortal, exactly how he might have wanted the verity told. In their stories, we see the man behind the myth defective, brilliant, restless, and hugely alive. The unborn he imagined still, he'd presumably be fascinated by artificial intelligence, wearables, if Jobs were alive moment. He'd push for bias that not only work briskly, but feel more natural. He formally said, "The computer is the most remarkable tool we've ever erected. It's the fellow of a bike for our minds." Imagine what he'd suppose now, as the bike has turned into a rocket. Yet he'd still ask the same questions. Does it make people's lives better? Does it empower creativity? Does it have soul? That's the test he'd apply to every invention, from AI sidekicks to smart spectacles. And that's the test the world still uses. Indeed, if they do not realize it came from him. The dent in the universe, when chroniclers look back at the late 20th and early 21st centuries, they'll place Steve Jobs alongside Edison, Da Vinci, and Tesla. Not because of the bias he made, but because of how he changed mortal jest. He made technology emotional. He made art functional. He blurred the boundary between machine and mortal desire. And he did it all by averring that design is ent decoration is verity. His dent in the macrocosm was ent just the iPhone or the Mac. It was the belief that imagination could be finagled. The ending that was ent on his final day at home in Palo Alto, girdled by his family. Jobs' last recorded words were simple, "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow." No bone knows what he saw. Perhaps it was clarity. Perhaps peace. Perhaps nothing at all. But ever it fits. For a man who spent his life chasing wonder, he left his world in admiration. After his end, the flag at Apple headquarters flew at half-mast. Thousands left flowers and notes outside stores around the world. Some wrote, "Thank you for changing my life." Others just wrote, "Suppose different." It was ent grief for a CEO. It was gratefulness for a visionary who had made their world more beautiful, more connected, more mortal. The man who stayed empty still. It's not the black turtleneck or the stage lights, it's the way he goggled at a prototype. Silent. If there's one image that captures him stylish, that's the real Steve Jobs. Restless, curious, empty. He no way wanted deification. He wanted movement. He wanted people to make, to question, to make commodity awful. And that's the irony. In trying to change the world, he ended up changing how the world changes.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.